and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, GCN proudly brings to you the podcasting PlayStation champions of the world, the KZ, Chris Gillette, the Sponge Belt, Garth Moore, which I put the camera on you. I think you're supposed to use like some Billy Gunn-like pose. I guess not.
I'm a rich man. Bam, bam.
Anyways, this is GCN's PlayStation-centered podcast, PlayStation and Pizza. This is your ultimate destination for everything PlayStation. I'm your host, Chris Gillette, like I said before, Garth Moore. And if you're not down with that, we got two words for you. Suck it. But one word for you, subscribe. Big wrestling fans, obviously, as you can see. But anyways, PlayStation, Garth, let's talk the usual. What have you been playing, man? Anything interesting?
Four games at one time. But three now, I mean, after I beat one of them.
Okay.
Call of Juarez Bound in Blood I finished this week.
How was that? You got to tell me real quick. How was that game?
If I can have a full pizza, I would eat 8.5 slices before I got full.
Okay. I that was good. I like how you did that. That was really good. Yeah. 8.5 slices. I could eat a pizza.
Yeah.
Playing that game, I would eat 8.5 slices. Here we have a beautiful ranking score of pizzas for games. We don't really give out too many numbers, so very nice. That's good. Glad to hear that.
Yeah, and it was really good. The story was enjoyable, and I was never bored of it.
That's good. Yeah, that's really good to hear.
I wanted to finish as fast as I could so I can move on to these other games or put more focus on these other games. So.
Right.
I got that done as quick as I possibly could. So, that was good.
How many hours do you think you spent?
It was 7.
Oh, 7 hours?
So, just under 8 hours. Yeah.
Okay, nice. That's bad.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah, so, and also I did my research on all the Call of Juarez games this week. There was a Call of Juarez all by itself on 360. Call of Juarez Bound in Blood, the one I played, is actually the second game. So the Call of Juarez on 360, there was one just all by itself. It was on PC and 360.
So it's a console exclusive to 360 then?
I guess. It was on PS3. Because when I did a Google Images, I didn't see a PS3 version come up. I mean, I guess I could have looked Wikipedia or some other.
Well, you're most likely right. I'm pretty sure there's only like 3 Call of Juarez games, including that arcade one they had recently.
Then they had the Cartel and they had Gunslinger. So technically there's 4, but there's 3 like main big ones. But one's horrific. With the Cartel one, but
Cartel, yeah, Jesus. So I didn't know that on 360. I'll have to look at that because I do collect for this. So. My collection is over there a little bit. that's good. That's awesome. Anything else?
Oh, the wonderful Yakuza 5.
Okay, Yakuza 5. How many hours
you got now? What I did was this week, I did some sort of strategy, this technique that I've been doing, and it worked out pretty well. It's been working out still. One day I would play Psychonauts, and then I would play Yakuza on one day, and then the very next day I'll play Primal, and then I'll play Call of Juarez on the next on the other day. So I would, play 2 games of which I'll pick, and then I'll stick to it, and then until I beat them, I'll stick to that pattern until I beat them.
Right. Yeah.
So I do that.
Yeah, I was kind of doing the same thing, but I'll explain that in a second.
I have to stay dedicated, and I have to keep it that pattern, otherwise I can fuck it up. Now, if I miss that day, if I don't feel like playing the game, that I don't do it, then I'll be like, well, I can't go back. I gotta like play the game that I just played, like Psychonauts. Then I'll play Primal because I don't mess the cycle up. But yeah, I've been that's how I've been doing this whole thing. That way, I don't overwhelm myself. It's more of a organized way of doing it. So anyways, Yakuza 5, I am 35 hours in. I'm reaching the 40-hour mark, and I'm 10% in.
Okay. I wonder how long the story is percentage-wise.
And I'm playing the... I got to play as the pop star. I got to do the dancing and singing parts, and that was great. That was fun.
You get to go on
game shows and like take interviews and handshakes with your friends or with your fans. It's great. It's awesome. Those little things like that, and then you know you get to learn the character and everything. There was a huge thing that happened. I'm not going to say what it was, but it's like, wow, that was unexpected. And it made me sad in a way. I was like, damn, that's pretty crazy.
Oh, wow, that sucks. So you got emotionally attached to some character or something? Something like that happened?
Yeah. It was pretty crazy. I was like, yeah, it was pretty amazing, actually. This game is so deep. It's just, it's still offering
so deep.
At 3-5 so hours. Go ahead and tell a couple. I'm not done yet, but go ahead because I gotta go do something. Go ahead and say what you're gonna play. And
yeah, I went ahead and guys, I've been playing a little bit of Riptide Renegade. For those of you know, it's GP Riptide Renegade. That I actually finished it this week. This game I told you guys before. If you were previously listening before audio or video version, whatever. The boss battles, it kind of reminds me of an older arcade racer, such as like Hydro Thunder or some other games of that nature, pretty much. It has boss battles, and the boss battles are pretty cool, but there's a few that are frustrating, which makes sense, you know, that's like typical history of boss battles, right? They can be. The last one was a little frustrating because it's a championship race, so you have to face him multiple, not only other opponents, but him multiple times. And it's kind of got that shit AI that is programmed to be ridiculously fast, able to catch up easily, whether you're ahead or not, and be a pain in the ass, like bumping you and whatnot. Ridiculous. Well, you get to doing that, and I've had to do the championship twice. I mean, you can restart each race, which is nice. That is pretty good. So if you're ahead of him and he's maybe won a couple, you've won a couple, and it comes down to there's a couple races and you need to at least win one of those, you could always restart that. You don't have to restart the championship, which is nice. But I didn't pay attention to that the first time. I just restarted it and did a second championship. But that being said, ended up getting ahead of him the second time, and it came down to this. I'll tell you real quick. The first race, it was actually 128 points to 128 points. It tied. Didn't give me the win. So I was like, okay, whatever. I'll just do it again. It doesn't really take that long. But it is frustrating for a boss battle. Oh, look, there's Garth back. So we can talk about this some more. You muted, man. You muted.
There we go. You want me to finish? Okay, cool. You want me to finish telling you what I've been playing?
Sure, I was finish? On. So, yeah, sure. I was talking about the last boss on Riptide. But yeah, sure. Go ahead. Take it away.
Okay. So, yeah. So, Yakuza 5, 35 hours in, and I'm still doing tons of stuff to do and still being immersed into the story and as deep as it is. And I want it to end, but I don't. But I also want it to end because I want to move on to 4. Or so, you know.
Well, did you hear that? They're all apparently getting remastered for PS4.
Yeah, supposedly. Yeah. Who knows how long that will take? I mean, because sometimes these Yakuza games, they're made, because this Yakuza 5 was made in 2012. We just now got it in 2015, you know? So if that happens, who knows how long it would take to come over to America, you know?
Sure.
But, anyways, Psychonauts and Primal also I've been playing, two PS2 games. I've been playing old games. If anyone is like going to be like looking forward to us like playing like new games, like, you know, badass games, maybe like, you know, No Man's Sky and stuff, this is not the place to go for that. This is not the place to hear.
Oh, well, but not today anyways.
We are badass. We play old games.
Yeah, we play everything PlayStation. It doesn't have to be, because I'm playing Primal right now.
It doesn't have to be. No. Right. Yeah, but so Primal. Man.
You know what, though? Okay. I made a take last night. The spot I was
down,
about the tree, Yeah. See, there's another. There's a tree that's lying down against a wall, and I thought that was the tree. I didn't think it was a tree behind me.
That's not the tree. It was the tree behind me. I actually thought that you meant the tree. I should have. No. I should have been more detail and said the tree in the very beginning of your video. That's the tree you knock over.
Okay. Yeah. See, I just went right up to it and pushed X. I could have done that earlier, but there was still a cutscene I missed. So I'm happy I talked to you, because I still think I could have pushed that over and she could have still walked over there no matter what. I think I could have possibly missed that cutscene somehow. Some of these older games let you do stuff like that. Nowadays,
this is a great example of lack of sense of direction with these older games. It's just like they put you in this game and you're just like, well, go ahead, figure it out yourself.
Right. Which honestly, like, to tell you the truth, it gives more playtime and it makes you explore your environment a little bit more and take the game in. A little bit more than you would these days.
It does give it more playtime, but sometimes it's like, enough's enough. You know, like I've been on this part for, I've been walking around this part for 15 minutes and nothing has happened. So, you know, you have a good point there, but at the same time, you know, I don't want to be looking around overly too long, because then that's just ridiculous. But the combat is—it's a little stiff, but you know what? It's okay though. It's okay. It's passable. Yeah. It's not bad.
Because what I like about it is it's stiff, but you don't have a hard time staying away from the enemies and dying really. So,
and it's
also weird
because the controls, the combat buttons are the top buttons. They're not the
R2 and L2.
They're not your typical circle. Or square triangle and stuff like that. It's their top buttons.
I mean, you can change them technically if you want to on the PS4, but then that's just going to feel weird probably. I like to
keep
the controls.
I feel like the natural way to play it like that, I feel like the developers wanted us to play the controls that way, so I'm going to play them that way. Unless if it's inverted, then I'm not going
to play. Now see, the camera actually was inverted from left to left to right. Up and down was fine, so I had to change the left or right. From the right vertical to a different angle. So.
Yeah.
But anyways, and, Final's not too bad. I mean, it's okay. No, I mean, it's got big areas for a older game, which is pretty impressive.
2003, you know, it's not bad.
No.
It doesn't really sound like back then, I mean, it doesn't really seem like a game that you would get lost in, but you actually do.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, there's times.
So I felt like back in the day, the reason why these games were like this is to get sales on strategy guides. Hey, let's make these guys struggle so people can buy our strategy guide.
That's a really good point.
Do you think that's the case? Because think about it.
Now that you mentioned it.
Think about it. I mean, like. But it makes you think, why didn't they continue to go with that route? You know, I mean,
maybe to appeal more to the casual DLC. Audience. I don't know.
And they also have the DLC to fall back on. Back then, they didn't have DLC. The little, you know, strategy guys. Those were technically DLCs back then. I mean, it wasn't added content, but it was extra money towards that game.
Right,
that you spent on an extra $15.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point.
So,
you know, maybe that's why they.
Yeah, so I'm just like, I'm sitting playing this game. I'm like, how did these people praise this game and like not get lost and figure out everything on their first playthrough and say like, yeah, this is great. You know, nothing wrong with the game, but it's just like, you know, it's really easy to get lost in.
Also, I noticed that.
And it doesn't explain things all clearly sometimes. So you're just like, and it doesn't always tell you where to go. Like the radar, you know, on the map, it tells you where to go, but you don't actually fully know all the time, because if you're not in a range of the map, it doesn't tell you until you arrive there.
Right. Yeah. And you know, I also think that developers these days actually have a little more leeway as development goes on. They have more chances to delay their games. I think 2000 or maybe any time before or in the early 2000s, I honestly think that there was more crush time. You know, like you have to get this game done by this point. This is the hardware specifically you're releasing for. I maybe it was a little more strict. I think now it's more of like, okay, development has changed as a whole. It's not, you don't see like, you know, in those older games, you see those big blocky 3D figures of houses and characters. Obviously development has changed, so that could be a thing too. Also the time I said, development. Now the games get delayed 2, 3, 4 times. Back then you really didn't hear that.
Cause like, think about it. Like, I think that's the case. It has to be, because think about it. If I made a game that was really easy, what's the point of, having people go out and buy a strategy guide?
True. Yeah. So maybe that's why Primal.
So now I think YouTube has kind of defeated the purpose of the whole strategy guide. You don't really eat your strategy guides anymore.
Exactly. Yeah.
So
look up a walkthrough.
The strategy guides still exist, but they're nowhere near as
worthful.
As they were back then. So that, I think that's the main reason. Hey,
yeah.
Let's like make this game really hard, or lack, hardware to go, so people get by our strategy guide.
So you played Primal. I played Primal. I'm enjoying it, but I mean, it's obviously it's time consuming. Although those older games really don't tell you exactly where to go. So also, you said you've been playing Psychonauts. I actually have never played that before. I wanted the original Xbox version because it was the better version. But now we got the
PS2 version.
I'm not sure if it's the PS2 version. I don't know what
version. No, it is the PS2 version.
It is?
PS2 version looks a bit rough.
Yeah, but what about now? How does it look now?
It still looks rough.
Does it?
Yeah,
I heard it looks a lot better, though.
The textures just... Oh, some of them look very, very... Like, if you look at some of the characters, you're just like, oh, man, that looks like something... That looks something like from Bubsby 3D. It looks bad. It take away from the game. I mean, the game is great, and I still love the game. The game holds up still very, very well. The gameplay is there. The platforming is fun. The controls aren't fun. They're easy. To get up and play, and it has a nice story, it has great characters. Just the graphics are just, they don't hold up on PS2 at all. Like, they're very, very flat. They suffer a lot. Because I've seen so much footage lately on Twitch of the PC version, and the PC version, you're like, wow, look, you could actually see textures on stuff that I've never seen before.
Okay.
But like, here it's just very blurry and muddy looking. It just doesn't really look that good, but other than that, I mean, it's great. I've played the game before.
You just reminded me of... you say you played the game before? Did you finish the game before?
I had it on PS3 because they had it on the... When it first came to PS3, I bought it.
Oh, okay.
But I never finished it on PS3. I got caught up with other things. And now that it has trophies, it'll give me an excuse to finish it.
Yeah,
but
I can see that.
but I hope to finish it. The game's actually pretty hard.
Okay,
it's actually one of the more challenging games. It has a lack of direction at times as well. Sometimes it always doesn't explain things entirely well. But it's not as bad as Primal.
Right,
I think it's a lot more, pick up and play, but the boss battles and everything, and just this game has some of the best level designs I've ever seen in a video game. The level design is so fantastic. It's so well done. You may not seem like it at first. You're like, oh, this guy's full of shit. He said it was the best level design ever. But once you go into people's minds and see their levels, it's just, oh, it looks so amazing. Like, the levels are just second to none.
I'm looking forward to that then, because those are the two games we picked up on the PSN store. And I'm just glad they have trophies. Does Psychonauts even have a platinum, or do you know?
Oh, yeah, it does.
Oh, does it? Okay, cool. Cool, that's cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. So that's all you've really been playing?
Yeah, pretty much.
Nice. Like I was saying before Garth came back, I finished GP Riptide Renegade, and... the boss battle at the end of that game is a championship, and it's like you had to fight Krex is his name. Kind of a sounds very bossy, like a boss character. Anyways, you go against Krex. Krex, he's tough. They made a typical UI boss that's ridiculously fast, can catch up to you easily, smash into you, kind of frustrating. And then they have this last race where he set up mines before the race, and it's just you two after you finish the championship, that is. And it's a pain in the fucking ass. Eventually, you got it, and it felt I felt rewarding as fuck, too, because when you have a hard boss like that, actually, even though he's a... How do you say it? A cheese? He's cheesing it, I guess you could say. Once you beat a boss like that, you feel pretty rewarding and fun. So I finished that game. There's side quests and stuff I plan on checking out and getting the trophies. And as you've seen, I went ahead and just said, fuck it, because I had time. I went ahead and just platinumed Rocket League. So there was like two or three trophies I had to get, and they're very, very easy. But the it just sucks going through the season mode. It just feels so lame. Like, just sit there, 10 games. I hate that. Like, I wish it was a little bit more of a challenge. I mean, I could have made it a challenge for myself, but I just felt like, I was like, okay, well, three trophies. No, I'm just
But the thing is, if you would have made it a challenge for yourself, then you may have not have got the 10 wins in a row. So you have to make it easy.
Right, exactly. But now it makes me actually want to try, put on the hardest difficulty, and make it through a season on there. Because I've gotten so good at Rocket League now, I feel like I can do it. But then again, that AI is very fucking cheap. It's like we're talking about. With AI,
and you got to rely on your, you got to rely on the AI, the friendly AI for you.
Yeah, and then they like to ram into you when you're trying to set up a, you know, a center or pass the ball. Yeah. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. I might do that. And I've been playing a lot more Primal. I think that's the game I'm going to stick to at the moment because I just beat Resogun this week too. Last week. Yeah, so I beat that game. And happy I got that out of the way. So I got the Platinum for Rocket League finally out of the way. Then I just got GP Riptide Renegade out of the way, which is actually the most recent game that I bought before Primal and Psychonauts. Glad I got Resogun out of the way because I went ahead and downloaded a few other games. And I plan on focusing on Most Wanted on Vita. So that's my game I'm going to be focused on at work now. Yeah. And that game is just a blast if you've played Need for Speed Most Wanted. And on Vita, it's like one of the best running games and looking games. So it's eye candy when it comes to a handheld. Yeah. I'm trying to think if I think I might have played something else. And last week I was like, you know what? I forgot to mention that I played something else.
Try to start on Psychonauts sometime this
week. Nah, I want to wait till I finish one game, a Primal, because there's a... Oh, I downloaded Mad Max. That's what I was going to tell you. I re-downloaded Mad Max so I can finish it. Because I left off near the end of the game. Because something came up, I guess. So I just, you know, I was like, you know what? I'm going to download that and finish it. And then, and that and Primal, I think I'm going to balance out right now. And then these newer games are coming. So beginning of next month and the end of this month, I think I'm going to focus a little more on...
Top 10 PS4 games of all time. Mad Max?
Yeah. It's in my top 10. Have to say it's... I would have to put it there too, and I hadn't beat the game. I like the game a lot. Very underrated. If you haven't played it, we recommend
it. I liked it more than Fallout.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah.
I also tried firing up my fat PS2. It's making this grinding noise now, but it reads a disc. For some reason, it will not launch the disc, but there is a fix for it. I found it, but I have a slim, but I'm missing the... You can't see it maybe behind me. It's stuffed right in between the PS1 games and PC games, right? That little black thing. Yeah, but anyways,
I can't really see it.
It's like brand new almost, but I did lose the AC cord to it, so I have to buy one of those for like $4. So that's probably what I'm gonna do, and then fix the fat on the side because I love the fat. I love the fat PS2s because I was gonna play some SmackDown.
The OG systems are always. Because they look the best. They may not play the best sometimes, but
right. Yeah, there's trouble.
It's just the original feel. It's just the original
look. Right. Yeah. Exactly. I was gonna play some SmackDown versus Raw, and gonna try to get into Wolfenstein, Return of Castle Wolfenstein, Operation Resurrection. So I was gonna try to play that. So I'm gonna try to play those two, and had trouble with the PS2. So
I've actually been playing a PS2 game myself. And then it isn't Psychonauts and Primal.
What is that?
I got the original Red Faction game.
That's right.
Weekend.
The original Red Faction.
On the flash sale. On the flash
How's that hold up?
Whew. You know what? It kind of looks a little bit more like GoldenEye a little bit, you know? Like a more souped up, better looking version of GoldenEye. I was playing the multiplayer with bots. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. It's so fun.
The only thing is, there's not any game modes, you know, like there's no capture the flag, there's no team deathmatch, there's no,
basic, man.
Just basic, but I at least would have liked to have seen, I'm surprised there wasn't actually, because there was a lot of multiplayer games out at that time.
Oh, there was, yeah.
And they had a bunch of game modes, like, you know, team deathmatch and capture the flag. There wasn't any of that. But other than that, it was pretty fun. Sorry. The campaign is you know, I've only played like 10 minutes of it, but, you know.
Original campaign is nice, and I liked Red Faction 2's campaign a little bit more. But now that THQ Nordic brought back THQ because they bought the name, and they own Red Faction, maybe we'll see the PS2 games on PS4. That would be nice, with trophies and hopefully platinums. And since we have share play, it'd be cool if we could play multiplayer together. That would be fun.
Yeah,
that would be cool. All right, Garth, I think that's what we've been playing. We took a while on that. What do you say we jump into the topic of the week? And that is Garth's turn this week. So, Garth, what do you have, man? I'm excited to hear what you got for this week.
When you think of the PS3, what's the first thing that comes? Like, how would you remember the PS3?
How would I remember the PS3? Great multiplayer moments with friends and party chats and really getting involved with other players. A real social experience compared to generations before the PS3. That's what comes to mind instantly.
Yeah, that too. You know what comes to my mind? The best exclusives of that console generation.
It has the best exclusives of all time. I think that console has the best exclusives.
It's debatable, but it's possibly. I am highly convinced. I was about to get to that. That it could be. It could have. It may not probably be the best PlayStation console. It may not be the. You know, the fan favorite PlayStation console, but I am highly convinced that it has the best games on it of any PlayStation console.
Oh, I completely agree.
The games that you play on that hold up, and they play well. Like PS2 games, that's you know primal. That's an exclusive. It holds up, but. You know, there's some downsides to it because you don't know where always to go. But some PS3 games, they're going to hold up 10 years from now, and they're still going to look good. So, I think that PS3 is probably the best PlayStation console ever.
I do agree. This is a PlayStation podcast, and all biased aside. I mean, I like other consoles too. I'm a big fan of gaming in general. I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea, but this is a PlayStation podcast, so... I completely 100% agree with you. And not only does it have this ambitious library and exclusives, but they all, I'm going to say, well, the exclusives, they all run extremely well. You don't have to, it's not like third party games where they had these hiccups and stuff like that.
That's the only downside to the PS3 is when some of the third party games. Yeah, you may get a couple of. You know, bad design PS3 games that were exclusive like Haze, but I mean, but it's for the most part it was actually a consistent run. I mean, they had so many games that came out left and right. I mean, there were so many, and the graphics were nice. And they too bad they didn't come out with trophies right away. Now. It's sad. It's criminal that the PS3 is as highly as underrated as it is. Did you know that I was looking at polls. PS3 is the lowest liked PS3 is the PlayStation console, and I think that's wrong. I think that people just because the PS3 had such a bad start, it lost a lot of love and it lost appreciation. Not a lot of people about these badass games. And Yakuza 5, this automatically just launched straight up in my top 5 PlayStation games of all time. Like the game is so good that I haven't even finished it yet, but the game is so good that I have to put it in the top franchises of all time. Like, right. it's that good. And there's a lot of good franchises that are on PS3, too, you know, not just, you know, because when people think of, you know, PlayStation, they think of Crash Bandicoot, Jak and Daxter, but they don't think of, you know, the awesome PS3 IPs that it also had that they don't mention either, you know. So, you know, I think that it's criminal that some people just don't give PS3 a chance.
Right. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, it's whatever your opinion is. But I mean, honestly, it's like the same thing with the Xbox One, for instance. This generation is the console that is going to get a lot of hate and has gotten a lot of hate for certain reasons, less like the PS3 did. And now this console generation for the Xbox One is going to be the most disliked console of Xbox history, and it will always be that way. And here's the reason the PS3
and it was the hate. And it was the OG Xbox, but.
Right.
That's my favorite Xbox.
Mine too. Now, maybe we just have a history of liking something that's hated. But the reason the PS3 will always have this hate is because, for one, the hardware that eventually got taken advantage of, the structure of the console. Two, the price point they launched it at, which people really never forgave them for, and a lot of people still haven't. And that started it out slow. And people disliked it right from the get-go and jumped to the 360 because of that. So, I mean, that being said, that's going to be stuck in people's minds forever. Now, the Xbox One had that DMR stuff at the very beginning, and that's still stuck in people's heads. And that's going to give them a lot of shit until this console generation is even over and beyond. So, I mean, you know, that's probably why it's the most hated, is those simple things. But now, when people also look at the fact that the console exclusives, and they really go and dig deep, maybe go to Wikipedia and look at the list that they have of exclusives, It's mind-blowing. And the games that you can also get over from Japan, and the console is not region-locked, so you're welcome to play them as you like. The PSN games, the PSN exclusives, we even have PSN exclusives over there, and there's great games that are on PSN alone. And physical-based games, we have so many in the library of, you know, Sony's PlayStation 3, and they all take advantage of the hardware. They run smoothly. They're developed from the ground up for that hardware. And they fucking look beautiful. I think they look better than any other exclusive game on the Xbox 360 that generation.
When you play a PS1 game, like the most of the PS1 games that they play, and no offense to PS1 games, because I love PS1 games and I love PS1 in general, but that are on PS1 now, the only ones that really hold up well is the Final Fantasy games, unlike those RPG style games that have play like Final Fantasy. Those are the only ones that really hold up. Some of the racing games hold up as well.
Right.
But the sports games don't hold up well.
Yeah, they don't. I have to interrupt you for just 1 second because that's what I played. You just said PS1. I downloaded Siphon Filter on my Vita. And that game, I got really far in the game so far. I was playing it right after I beat Resogun. And that game, I was telling you how you can switch the controls to your liking in that game. And I have it set up like a third-person shooter. And circles to roll like Uncharted, and you can squat with take cover if you hold it.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. So I switched the controls, and it has an auto-aim feature, which makes the game a little bit easier because that game is tough. But it holds up. Yeah. The controls are almost identical to where I liked them in the first place, to switch a few things around. And the animations and everything. That game holds up very well for its time.
Yeah. So, like, you're going to have your small niche audio, you know, game, niche of games that hold up on PS1.
Right.
PS2, you're going to have your, which is very similar to PS1, the RPGs, the racing games, some of the action games, you know, first-person shooters maybe still hold up. Yeah. But no genre is more consistent and hold up the most than PS3 games, because They're just so simplistic, and you could just get into them
right
away, and they're great. They're not only just great pick up a play, but they're also great games.
Yeah, usually almost every exclusive is great. Like you mentioned, a few like Haze and stuff like that, but you know, there's a few that aren't that good, but most of them are.
Yeah. I mean, there's always going to be a console that doesn't have, you know, great games, or they have a game that came up just short, you know, failed to meet the expectations.
Exactly.
But yeah, I mean, PS2 is probably still the overall better console. I mean, you know, because it has so many games, but...
True, it has so much.
But 3 is probably has the better games.
Yeah, and, I think it does have the better library.
I haven't even mentioned all the great, you know, multiplayer memories and all the great Lightroom experiences that I had in
PS2. Lightroom, if you don't know.
Those weren't even like, oh, I'm just mentioning the games.
Yeah. That's like I was saying, you asked me like what comes to mind when you talk about the PS3, and I mentioned that social experience. Now, it was a console that lacked in some features in the social experience because...
Oh, yeah, it did.
They didn't have cross-game chat and stuff like that, but yeah, we did make it work.
It didn't, but you know what? Those games that we mentioned, I mean, we only mentioned a few games. I can only think of so much at this moment, but those so many games that we did get, you know, kept us busy and kept me from complaining. I mean, there were so many of them that it's just like, now today I would be, if I went from PS4 to PS3, I would be complaining because I was like, oh, this is kind of ridiculous. You know, I want to be able to check. But I mean,
I never experienced it before, man.
So I didn't really
get caught up in hours of chats. And
honestly, that kind of actually hurt me from playing and completing some games slower. So I'm just like, you know, I really want to beat this game or this game, but I kind of want to chat as well, you know. So luckily we have the option to do both today, you know.
Yes, exactly. Luckily we do. I mean, we did have that on 360 as well, but as being a PlayStation owner and enjoying playing PlayStation more, you know, we did make things work. Also, we would play games like Uno, for instance, if we just wanted to have a good time with our friends and have people in there we can chat with that had good chat, because there were some games that had utter shit chat. You know, the mic sounded terrible. So, Uno, we would go on there to have fun and play at the same time. We would find out ways to make things work. But yeah, Garth, topic, man. If you guys want to, you can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/group/gamercade. Join that if you haven't already. And if you have, let us know. When we mentioned
and the question of the show, what is the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of PS3?
Okay, yeah, perfect.
Just your honest opinion, your honest answer.
Or down below, you can go and check that, or you can go and comment in the box, let us know. And while you're there in the description, you guys can go check out the other links to all of our other sites and stuff like that. So yeah, Garth, good topic. Once again, usually we don't know what we're going to say. We always keep it a surprise to each other so we can kind of get that surprise on off our chest and be like, oh, shit, like, okay, good topic. I think it makes it easier so I don't have to sit there and think about what you're bringing all week, and I would be completely tongue-tied, like, so many things I want to say.
Yeah.
All right, Garth, what do you say we get into some PlayStation video game news?
News.
What do you say? What do we do? Let's do it. Done. All right, first things first. Well, actually, I've got about 12 items of news this week, so it's a handful this week. A lot of stuff went down. Confirmed, Sony has rolled out a two-step verification in all regions. Actually, this article has been updated since last time. Since this went live, we have been able to confirm that the two-step verification is indeed live 100%. We provided screenshots below to show the entire process of adding verification to your PlayStation Network account. And to give a shout-out so you guys can check out the screenshots, it's our outerhaven.net, so if you want to go over there and check out the screenshots, or go on your PlayStation yourself, you can do so and see if it's there. I'll have to check it out myself. I have not. But it says, it's no secret that Sony, or more specifically PlayStation Network users, have been very prone to account compromises, like myself recently. That being said, over the past few years, even now, it's frequently to see threads or posts pop up claiming that someone's account was compromised, all which involved money being used on games or items. That's the sad part about this is if you try to cancel those charges or charge back, Sony tends to ban the account for one reason or another. This wouldn't be as much of an issue if Sony would step up its security, which they're doing so with this two-step verification, which you guys already have history with already. Like if you have a Google or Gmail account or YouTube or anything like that, they do the same thing with two-step verification. I honestly think it's a better way of doing things. So I'm glad to see that they're making this a must. I'd like to see Sony step up their security in every way. What do you think, Garth?
I think Master Chief is agreeing.
Oh, Master Chief, what are you doing on this podcast? If you're watching the video version, Garth, that was Master Chief. Master Chief, get out of here. What are you doing? Get out of here.
I actually found him today. I was like, I was in my drawer, and I was like, oh, look, I found him.
Should have put him back.
But yeah, I think that's fun. Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely good for security. All right, second thing is Crash Bandicoot. Crash Bandicoot's first PS4 appearance looks awesome. Push Square goes and say, we all collectively rolled our eyes when Crash Bandicoot was confirmed for Skylanders Imaginators. After all, we know how Activision treated the fellow PlayStation favorite Spyro when this series started. But it looks like it's learned its lesson this time around. The Thumpin' Wumpin' Island level that will appear as a timed exclusive for the PlayStation 4 apparently looks amazing, people are saying. So this game, the Thumpin' Wumpa Island level, which sounds ridiculous, is a throwback to the old school Crash levels when you first start the game. You have those little jumps, the ball rolling after you, the island, and he has that goofy look. It's obviously Skylanders, but these exclusive levels, I mean, it's no remaster. But anyways, it looks good, and that's good to hear because this could mean great things coming up in the near future for Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah, and, I mean, like, it looks all right. It's not important to me, though, until that actual remastered of the original games happen. Then I'll be like, oh, this is great. You know, this is awesome. Because, you know, right. I don't really care.
But it is good signs, though, because Activision, we mentioned Activision, I don't know, I can't countless times about their pricing on games, their non-remastered titles that they just upload to PSN, copy, paste, save as. So it's good to see this. I mean, who knows? We'll have to wait and see. Then this is good signs, though. But I don't blame you, Garth. Yeah, we'll have to actually see what happens when these remasters come about. And I don't even know who's
going to be. Yeah, because I want to see, is it actually just going to be a upscale with like, you know, HD graphics? Or is it actually going to be a complete overhaul? That's what I would like to know, you know?
Right, exactly. All right, next little bit of news.
Either one, I don't care. It's just, as long as I get to play with trophies.
Exactly. Yeah, even if it had trophies and it was just, you know, upscale a little bit and a little slightly better overall experience, that'd be good. All right, PlayStation Plus membership is going up in price. Wah, wah, wow. Anyways, PlayStation Plus subscription will be going up in price starting on September 22nd, 2016. Anyone who signs up for PlayStation Plus subscription on or after September 22nd will need to pay $59.99 US dollars or $69.99 in Canadian cash, whatever you want to call it. $69.99 is a hell of a price for Canada. Holy shit, $70 for PlayStation Plus, that's kind of ridiculous.
Oh, I know.
For a four-year subscription, those will be the prices. This has gone up in price from the original $49.99 US dollars and $59.99 in Canada. That the membership currently resides at. The monthly subscription will stay at $9.99 in the United States. Actually, that's good for monthly. $9.99, I like that because if you want to go and buy a monthly subscription, you know, and you're short on cash, and you're like, you know what, $9.99 isn't too bad. I'm happy that's staying that. But in Canada, it will go up to $11.99. Yeah. Sadly, that sucks. Sony has announced that there will be no disruption to the services they currently offer with the PlayStation Plus membership, Sony states in their blog post. Quote, the new pricing reflects the current market conditions while enabling us to continue to provide exceptional value to our membership. As a member, you will continue to enjoy the benefits, features that enabled shared experiences such as online multiplayer, free games, and exclusive discounts as an online player. You will also continue to get exclusive benefits such as online game save storage discounts across the PlayStation Digital service. This is the first time we have seen Sony increase the price of PlayStation Plus since a program launched in 2010. Since then, the PlayStation 3 and the PlayStation 4 and PlayStation Vita gamers have received hundreds of dollars in free games. The PlayStation Plus program launched in June 2010 with the PlayStation 3. Garth, your thoughts on the prices raising up? Do you think we're going to get more quality? Do you think we're going to get better games? Is this a sign of a better future? Or is this just something that we have to kind of deal with because Sony chooses to do so? Are they being arrogant?
We have to deal with both. Well, one, we have to deal with it. And I still feel like if they're going to do this, there has to be at least some better quality games. You know, because
right.
last month's games, other than or this month's games, other than Yakuza 5, I didn't care about any of them. So hopefully that they actually start giving us a little bit better games. Not, you know, all amazing games, but right, better games. Right.
Yeah, definitely better games. I mean, maybe we can get a little more quality title. I mean, I'm not saying these indie games are not quality titles, because we've talked about this on the show before, like indie games being a better AAA experience than some AAA
Indie games can be hit or miss, you know? I mean, not all of them are great. So an indie game that's like really quality, and then sometimes you'll get an indie game that's very cheap, and you're like, well, this indie game for a reason, but why am I playing this exactly? It's, you know, it's a little clunky and just doesn't really work.
Right. Or, I mean, you know, indie games are right up everybody's alley either. You know, sometimes the way they look, the way they feel.
I do feel like some people should check them out, enjoy them, because there are some very good indie games.
For sure.
So, yeah. But hopefully it'll give us better stuff, you know.
Right. Or do you think this is just thoughts? You know, this is not 100% right off the top of my head. But do you just think this is maybe Sony being arrogant this generation? Hey, we're doing great in sales. A lot of people are buying PlayStation Plus. What do you say we up the price?
They've been arrogant for many years. I mean, that's why. Well, what do you think the PS3 got off to such a horrible start at $599?
The pricing and everything. Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. So they've always had that attitude. But you know, I mean, I guess they have a right to. But you know, they just need to just calm the fuck down. And just stay to their, you know.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, don't brag. Don't be douchebags.
Right. Well, you know that they recently came out and said that their gaming division is the biggest portion, the biggest best-selling, money-making division of their company. So I think they're saying, you know what? Right. How can we make a little bit more money besides bringing out the Neo and the PlayStation VR?
If Sony was not in gaming, they would be out of business. They would not be around.
Oh yeah, they would not.
So gaming, their gaming has saved them.
Yes. Us gamers have saved them just by buying their console.
Because no one buys their hardware. Nobody buys like their Sony TVs, even though they're amazing TVs. Amazing, but they're expensive TVs.
Yeah, they're too expensive. That's the problem. Sony's arrogant. Right then and there. They're arrogant with their products. It's because they're quality, yes. Yeah. But come on now. Like, you gotta learn your lesson eventually. But anyways, PlayStation Plus subscriptions will be going up. This is actually matching Microsoft's price with theirs, with Xbox Live. So if you're really, really worried about this, then you got to remember that this is exact prices. And if you're getting three months now, it's like $24.99 now. So it's like $25. It's the same exact as Microsoft. You're going to get 3 months paying the same price. You're going to get it a year. It's going to be the same price, $60. But there's deals everywhere now. So you can go online. You're going to find the stuff cheap. You're going to find it cheaper, $35 for a year. There's always going to be deals now. So don't be afraid to go online and check. Make sure you just don't get scammed. But anyways, to me, it's not really a big deal. Somebody's just trying to look for that extra cash. And I mean, what am I going to say, Garth? Am I going to say I'm not going to ever pay for it again because I don't want to play multiplayer? Because I'll be lying.
Yeah, I know. And the thing is, it's not that big of a leap. I mean, yeah, it is, but no, it isn't. I mean,
right.
If you're understand if it was like $15-$20, you know, like, oh, okay, that's a huge leap. But right, you know, it's only ten bucks, and even for the $7 leap. So instead of paying, you know, for $17 or $18, however it is. You're gonna pay $25, so it's not that big of a leap.
In a couple weeks to a month, we won't hear anything about this ever again. It'll be gone. People will forget. All right, let's move on. First things first. With this next one is the new DualShock 4 code. For this product is CUH-ZC to you. Some people care about that. They like to look up those things. So if you want it, there you have it. But it's basically the same DualShock. Pictures and details of the new DualShock 4 expected to come with the Neo. Now, this is another thing that got leaked, which we're going to get into with the PS4 Slim and stuff like that. But this is something that got leaked. The only difference I see so far is the PS button is like a grayish, whitish... well, it's white with a background of gray. It's not black anymore with a white PlayStation symbol. And the thumbsticks are gray now. And some
the
of the
thumbsticks are gray like the old PlayStation 1 and 2.
Exactly. And R1 and L1, L1 and L2, L1 and R2 are gray as well. So it seems like they're trying to go back to some of the old school colors like they did with the 20th anniversary DualShock, which I have.
The analog sticks look a little bit more bigger too and more stable.
It looks it kind of has that look to it, like has broader shoulder look. But I'm really thinking they upped the battery life. They could have changed the size of the light bar. I think we'll see changes.
Well, actually, did you see the video of the controller? There's actually a light bar.
A video.
There's a light bar on the touchpad now.
Really? Or is it a light underneath it?
There's a light bar behind it. You have your basic standard, you know, light bar. The standard light bar that we have now has not changed. It's the same.
Okay.
Unless maybe it's, you know, I got
to we have to look at it directly.
Tell if it's smaller or bigger. But the actual other video, light is actually right on top of the touchpad, and it lights up. It's pretty cool. It looks pretty sleek.
Nice.
Yeah, it looks pretty nice. So there's another light on our controller. So there's two
lights. Get a chance, post it on the Facebook group so we can check that out. Facebook.com/group/gamercade if you guys want to go check that out. Also, the biggest news of the week for PlayStation and all of us, we didn't expect this, just kind of happened. Garth, you were the first one to break the news over on our Facebook page and stuff like that, and GCN in general. PS4
Slim, I'm a beast, released, that's why.
Yeah, it got leaked. PS4 Slim is possibly to release worldwide on September 14th. This Gen Gaming said that has received exclusive confirmation by the person selling a PS4 Slim that it will be available to purchase for everybody on September 14th, which is slightly after the event, which is held on September 7th, which you talked about last episode. Which you guys can go check out on iTunes and all that. Subscribe while you're there. But anyways, you guys, we said September 7th is the event. The PlayStation meeting is what they are calling it now. And I think we'll see an announcement alongside the PS4 Slim and all that. Garth, let's talk about thoughts on the PS4 now real quick. It is much smaller than I expected it to be. I honestly think it was just going to be a little bit smaller. It does look like
it looks cheaper, obviously.
Very, very ridiculously cheap. Now, I think they're shooting. A lot of people are saying $250, but honestly, I'm $250. Thinking. You think it's $250, $249? They went. You can tell that they went beyond cheap for this. And I'm not saying that Sony's being arrogant once again, but I honestly think they're trying to go so cheap that they want to sell even more of these. And I mean, it doesn't. I mean, it looks.
That's honestly, that's concerning to me. Like, if you're gonna make your console so cheap,
no, I'm just talking how durable not is that the thing inners, be? But the outer.
You know, like for the long run, like how much like there's gonna be a downside to this. You know, like what's gonna be sacrificed? You know, like obviously there's no cool light,
which I loved. Well, because you got the premium experience. Sony doesn't want you to feel like, if they made a Slim now, they wouldn't want you to feel like, you know, just like the last generation of the PS3, the FATs, you know, the shiny color, multiple USB SD card slots, you know, all that. Now, I don't think you have to worry. I think that they're just the outer console. I think that they try to make so cheap that it's just, you know, the back looks so simplistic. And I really want to know, since this thing is, it's really thin, to be honest. It's so much more thin than the PS4. If you haven't seen, you guys can go check it out. Just Google PS4 Slim. I'm wondering how they're going to keep this thing ridiculously cool. Like, I know the PS4, the launch day PS4s were really loud. Apparently, they've been fixed since then.
Oh, yeah, they were.
So I'm wondering how...
They have been. They've actually came out with some nice other models of PS4s that are more quieter.
So I'm wondering if this one is going to be... I really want to know if this thing is stealth quiet, just like the stealth black it has. Do you like the round edges it has, or do you prefer the pointy kind of sharp look?
I like the pointy edges.
Yeah. This is, I honestly looks think like that
gives
going
it more
this
of a futuristic
though.
Design.
Right. It does. It looks sleek to me, but it looks like it's going to be something that you can fit in just about anywhere, which is actually going to make people really happy. Because a lot of people were comparing it to like Apple TVs and stuff like that. Now, it isn't exactly the size, but it is going to be something that you can just slide in there. It's smaller than the PS3 Slim, and that thing looks huge compared to the.
I don't like how far apart the USB ports are. I don't get why there's one way over here and one way over there. It looks stupid, honestly. I wish
Do you think they did that for charging reasons? Like, do you think they, like, if two people have controllers plugged in, do you think they made it farther apart like older consoles, like back in the day? Or do you think that maybe, I don't know, maybe they're thinking, maybe they got complaints that I don't know about.
It just looks weird.
It does. It looks off. But then again, they had so much space to work with. Maybe they just felt like it looked empty and they just had to throw. They also changed the hard drive slot. It's now on the left side of the console on the bottom. So you don't have the panel.
So you can't change your hard drive.
Yeah. Sony's never getting rid of that idea. So it's 500 gig, which a lot of people aren't worried about because you can swap your hard drive in and out and they're not too expensive to go and find.
I think the blue and green buttons are back on the power buttons, I believe.
Oh, are they? I'll have to look at that. I mean, I've seen videos.
I looked at it actually come on. There's a video that it gets turned on.
Okay, I've seen
videos.
It looks
like the blue and green. It looks like the blue and green lights are back. I could be wrong.
Okay, cool. Because you know, on the PS4,
the blue and green lights are good. The blue and green lights are the classic lights that I like.
Garth, I meant to ask you. You have the pressure sensitive buttons, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome.
Which I don't like.
Of the premium. PS4.
The OG PS4s.
Which I'm very happy I have, to be honest.
Honestly, I don't think anything will top this PlayStation design. It's the greatest, it's the sweetest looking design ever.
Sexiest looking console. Awesome. Yeah, and then you show
the Slim, it's just like, oh, they ruined it. Like,
how much sexier can you get? You know what I mean? You can't get a sexier.
It's like going from, I don't know, what women do you like? Like in Hollywood? All right,
here's a better reference, so we're not womanizing
like
or anything. Let's say, like, you get the sweet ass Lamborghini, right? And let's say it's a certain year. Let's say you get a 2005 Lamborghini, and that year looks so good.
And then the next year comes out, and then you get a Honda Civic, and you're like,
right? Or I was gonna say the next year comes out, the newer Lamborghini model comes out, and it doesn't look as sweet. You're like, what the fuck did they even do to the design? It does not look as good.
Yeah.
So that could be it, because. I mean, like the Ford Tauruses, for instance. They have one Taurus that looks like a fucking fish, like spaceship-looking thing. I think it came out like 2003, and now the newer ones look really good. So it's kind of compared to that. Like, you're just kind of like, okay, what the fuck were they thinking around that time?
The design has grown on me a little bit.
Same with the Xbox One S.
It's
kind of grown on me.
I didn't like it at first. But it's not my... No, you know what? I actually like the 1S. I think it looks nice.
Really, I hated it at first. I was like, "This is ugly." But
I feel like it's the same. I feel like it looks exactly the same. Just
well, me having an Xbox One, I think that the original fat, I think it's a sexy bitch. I mean, it's a sexy big girl, but I like the Xbox. I'd rather not have the S. I think the older ones are better. Let's talk about some differences here. You guys may be thinking, okay, well, the Xbox One S has 4K and has HDR, which is for the lighting on certain TVs and stuff, 4K TVs. 4K for 4K video, not gaming, just to let you guys know until the Scorpio comes out for the Xbox. PS4 Slim, breaking down what differences from the original model. No UHD or 4K playback like the Xbox One S. You can see in some of the packaging shots that the system does not mention 4K anything. The side of the console simply like Blu-ray as the system's format. No mention of the UHD Blu-ray. There is no mention of HDMI 2.0 cable on the console's box either. It means it will not play the 4K content, most likely. This differs from the Microsoft Xbox One S, which is the cheapest way to get 4K UHD Blu-ray content, currently at $299. I'm thinking the reason they didn't put this, which we talked about before, is to make the console even cheaper. They're wanting it to get in everybody's hands. It's like
they also want to sell the Neo. Why would you put
4K
in a Slim when you got the Neo coming out.
Right. Yeah. And this article goes to say that perhaps Sony plans on the even cheaper 300 price, but we're saying 250, which is ridiculously cheaper. With this model, they likely want to avoid confusion with the release of 4K equipped PS4 Neo, not to have two models that do 4K video, but not necessarily 4K enhancement games. So many people are going to want the Neo now when they see what it can do. I think this is a really, really smart move by Sony. Really smart move by not putting 4K in the older consoles, because now when Neo comes out, not only better graphics and everything of that sort, the games look better, it runs better, but now it's going to have 4K.
It is smart, but you know what? Why bring out a Slim? I mean, your Neo comes out probably next year, so like why? It's just I think it's stupid.
You've got to learn that for them to drop the make it even cheaper, they can't do the PS4 that way because the way it's manufactured and how big things are and how the material it's made out of, it's cost them more. It costs more, they have to make more off of it, so that's why the price it is. For them to make a Slim, the chip is smaller on the inside, everything else is smaller, the insides, the outsides are cheaper, it's lighter, it's slightly thinner, it's more energy efficient. That's why they come out with it, so they can. For the budget people out there that don't have a PS4 yet, this is perfect for them. $250 is going to be a killer price, and I really think that's what they're going to release it as. I could be wrong.
I understand like that, all that, but I just think that like the smart enough people,
right?
They're just going to wait and get a deal, you know. So right. I think that them a little bit, but not entirely. And you know, I'm going to miss the original look of the Neo. Now maybe the Neo has the look that we have here in ours, but I don't think that they'll do that. I think they'll give it a maybe cheaper design so they can get that 4K stuff out there and make it as affordable as possible.
I think they're going to go out with the Neo. I think it's going to be ridiculous looking, in a good way. Maybe we'll get a few more lights on it. I don't know. Honestly, you know, so this is the same 500 gig hard drive. Physical power and eject buttons are LED lights, like you were talking about. They said the PS3 Slim model has those. Like you're saying, the blue and green style has no optical out. One big change is the output audio. It's HDMI only. You won't see me buying this for one reason. The PS4 has the optical out. I like surround sound. So this doesn't have a surround sound port either. Bullshit. Like, come on now. Like,
that's pretty shit.
You can come tell on, they went.
You're fucking and people over.
You know what? No, well, I mean, for if you're a gamer that wants that, yes. But imagine then they're making this $250. You know how much that and VR are together? It's not going to be that much. This thing, the VR will sell it hotcakes with this thing, especially if they have some sort of bundles. I honestly think that's what they're reaching for, is to get VR in more people's homes with this model. But that does fuck. That does suck for gamers like me, because I cannot game without surround sound now, really. So that's me.
Luckily, I have a headset, kinda small. So it doesn't.
The headset's too. Well, that's true. That is a good point, because the connection to the controller, you're getting surround. It depends on the headphones you buy.
Yeah.
So anyways, slightly slimmer, same hard drive. The hard drive has changed on the side. It's slightly smaller. Physical power eject buttons are kind of like the PS3 Slim, with the green and red. No optical out, which is a bummer. No 4K. The hard drive got moved, like I said, to the left side. So it's still there. You can swap it out. Don't have to worry about the 500 gig if you don't want to. Something I'm not going to switch to, Garth. What about you?
No. What's the point?
What is the
point? There's no point.
Exactly. But anyways,
If people don't have a PS4 and... If people don't have a PS4 and they want to spend $250 on it, or supposedly $250, we don't know yet.
Right.
Or then go for it then.
Yeah, go for it. Honestly, for the budget gamer, I think it's great, great price. You know, at $250, let's take that with a grain of salt. That's our predictions. Even at $300 won't be bad. That's $50 more. I'm sure they're gonna have tons of bundles now with like 2-3 games or something and PlayStation Plus. So we'll probably start seeing those a little bit more. Maybe priced at $300, somewhere around there, if it is at $250. All right, also, the specs on the Neo, you know, a lot of people say that they're not going to be obviously as powered. And Digital Foundry came out and said that Now, the hardware that is supposedly in the Neo can get overclocked to about 5 teraflops, which is crazy. That's good. 5 teraflops to six, Microsoft 6 teraflops with the Scorpio. So Sony still has a chance here at being almost as powerful.
The whole sometimes when it comes to, you know,
think about it.
I don't understand about teraflops. I don't understand
horsepower. Think in a car, like how fast.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay.
That's what teraflops. Okay. Mainly, that's the easiest way I can break it down for you. So 5 teraflops to 6. That's a huge leap if they can overclock this, which they can do apparently with the hardware that they have in there. So we'll have to see what happens. September 7th is coming up very close, so the PlayStation meeting, tune in for that. I'm sure we will have possibly a live
cast. The Slim will be out. Slim will be out this holiday season. Expect though.
And honestly, I don't see why. I don't see them missing out on holiday sales either with the Neo. I think we'll have 3 PlayStation products out, which won't be confusing because I think the Sony will do a good job. They're already kind of doing a good job with not putting 4K in the Slim console and all that. So they're separating the Neo fan base already.
Wouldn't that be fucked up though? Like, I'm getting a Slim. It's the Neo. Yeah, if they go home and take it home. and then they're like, "Oh, this doesn't do 4K. This is a Neo."
Right.
And then, they end up being disappointed.
Yeah. That's
what's going to be that's the confusing part about this.
We
understand, right. but some of the casual market confused by this, they're going to be like, "Oh, this is the new powerful version." Oh yeah, but then they're like, "Oh no, it's not."
Confusing
part to the casual market.
I honestly think that they will make the branding enough. I think the PS4 Neo, codenamed right now, I honestly think the box will be, and the name will be, PS4K. Because 4K is obviously taking over.
Called Neo.
Yeah. What do you think? It's PS4 4K, or do you think it's going to be PlayStation 4.5, or do you don't think it's going to be Neo?
No, it's not going to be called Neo. It's going to be 4K.
You think it's going to be 4K? Okay, so we got the same. Do you think they're going to have the yellowish 4K on the console, or do you think they're just going to have a K on there?
I think it won't be gold. It'll be the same font as the PS4, and it just has the K on.
Okay, and I think that they'll have a huge branding on the box that's going to be totally different from the regular PS4s to let you know that it's 4K gaming. And the best way they can get that out there is, like we said, our prediction, PS4 4K. I honestly think that I'm getting more excited.
I don't mean think it'll be different lettering. I think it'll be
probably different. I mean, a bigger brand on it, like a noticeable difference.
I think it'll be like a sticker on it or on the back of the case. You look back and it says 4K on it.
It'll be right there in plain sight that it'll say PS4K on the box?
It like a sticker, but I don't think it's actually going to be like permanent.
I don't think it's just going to say PlayStation 4. I think it'll say PS4, PS4K, maybe with the gold K on the box, and it'll say like something like the power.
That's also confusing to the market, because for casual people who don't really follow tech stuff, they're going to be confused.
Well,
they're
I don't really have a 4K. 4K at this point. Almost everybody, not everyone.
But
I think at this point, it's kind of becoming.
But I don't have a 4K.
Right. Yeah. And what's crazy is like.
Got it in a different way, maybe.
Yeah. It's crazy how 4K is coming fast and this fast. Like, I've even seen it at stores now where, like, almost all the Blu-rays are ultra 4K, whatever, or ultra Blu-rays. And all the 4K TVs are, like, so cheap now. What's that?
Who would have thought that Blu-rays are, like. Who would have thought that Blu-rays are, like, a thing in the past now, like
DVDs. Right. Blu-rays are becoming.
Now we're going to ultra. Yeah, now we're right. Now we're moving and to now, ultra to bl- right. Blu-ray.
And now DVD is becoming the VHS, pretty much. If you own a DVD or you're going out buying DVDs, you're pretty much going out and buying the VHSs. You got to make the switch. So let us know what you guys think about the Neo and the PS4 Slim and all that coming up. September 7th for the PlayStation meeting, and then possibly, which we have here as a title, that the PS4 Slim. September 14th. Possibly. We'll have to wait and see what happens. Right. So, Garth, you said it's not going to be a buy for you. You're going to stick with the original PS4?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, let's switch to the, let's switch gears here. We're almost done with the news for today. No Man's Sky update 1.40 is live on PS4, fixes bugs and improvements to stability. Follow the recently released PC patch that added support for more hardware and improved frame rate. Hello Games has released No Man's Sky update 1.4. PlayStation 4 reportedly a 605 megabyte download, which is actually pretty hefty for a update. Fixes bugs, improvements stability, and lots more. A full list of the patch notes are available yet, aren't available yet. But some users on Reddit have reported the update 1.0 fixes crashing issues. Others, however, still say the game is crashing on them, even though they have the patch. I think Hello Games has been at work for this. I think they're really trying hard. The game has sold well so far. Some people say that articles have said that the game has slowed down, but that's probably because the game has actually sold extremely well so far, which is expected for a game of this caliber. So I'd probably that's why the sales have actually slowed down. But anyways, at least you know they're updating the game. They did say that all the content for No Man's Sky will be free. So that's something to look forward to if you haven't. I haven't picked it up yet. I plan on picking it up digital.
Did you see Angry Joe's?
No, I try to stay away from his reviews.
Oh man.
He gets a little too. I like to hear.
It was a great review. I really enjoyed it. It was entertaining all the way through.
Entertaining or on point?
He kind of exposed the game. Actually, he kind of exposed the developer. The developer lied.
Well, I've listened to almost every interview that Sean Murray did, and he didn't do that much lying, to be honest. So, I mean, and they're a small team of like 10 to 12 people. That's impressive.
Because he showed all this stuff and said all this stuff that was going to be in the game is it's not even in the game.
Like what?
So, you know, like spaceship battles, you can go in squads. Squads. None of that's there. Yeah. Like you can go in like big squads and stuff, and you can fly around with your friends and stuff.
There was never mentioned that you could fly around with your friends. Now that was AI.
It was actually shown in Angry Joe's video. They actually show like, hey, you can go in squads, or it wasn't actually squads. It was another word for it. But
right,
you're in a party and stuff, and there's a ton of stuff that was mentioned. I never paid much attention to the game, so I never knew
right.
what was said and what wasn't said. I'm right. just like, wow, that's pretty cheap, you know, like you say all the stuff and it's not even there.
Well, see, the only reason I kind of stick it for the game is this is a 12, you got to realize that this is a 12 man or lady development squad. What they've done with this game is beyond leaps and bounds of most AAA games can possibly do. Like, the talent of this team is so ridiculous and so, like, out of this world that I'm surprised that they even have created a game this ambitious. And now, this game may not be a game right now. That's like Minecraft, for instance. Let's take the Minecraft. Minecraft is a game that got thrown together, and there wasn't much you could really do in the beginning of the game. And over time, it became this game that eventually sold billions, like almost a billion copies. You know, it's a game that sold, actually not a billion, it's over exaggerating, but a game that is like almost on everybody's device that almost everyone owns. Now, I think eventually No Man's Sky will be of that caliber, and right now it's actually hit a level of caliber that, which is surprising. Especially,
and you know what, like if that's the case, and then, you know, like that's a shame,
right?
Like, what the state of gaming is today. It should be like that on the first day when you get
right, it. Should be.
Think
it
about
should
it. Be. I feel like this game should be scrutinized, and it deserves to be scrutinized more because you're paying a $60, you know, price tag. If this was $15 to $20, then people wouldn't care as much because they're not paying that much money for it.
Yeah, I can definitely.
They're not paying that much money for it, so it's not like, oh well. I mean, it doesn't have this and that. These people lied on this certain part. They said this was going to be here, but it's not.
Right. Sony did do a little bit of covering up,
But I only paid $15 for it, so oh well. But you're paying right. $60 for
$60.
Better damn well say it's going to be there.
Right. But there, slowly, but that's not to, that's not to say that the game doesn't have a lot of content, because it does definitely have a lot to do. But anyways, the patch, if you're looking forward to a patch and you're looking for the game to update, the update is out now, so you guys can do that. A lot of bug fixes and stuff like that. And I the way Sony's exclusives go, I always see patches come right out, like one after another, one after another, one after another. So I honestly think we're going to see a lot of support from this game. And Sean Murray is a really like nice-hearted guy. I think we'll see a lot of content from him. It's a shame where this game has kind of went. But then again, a lot of people have done it to themselves with hype and expectations, because this game has shown a lot.
I think, again, I think that's Sony's and the developer's fault as well.
So I think it's Sony's fault, really. I think Sony was shoving it
down the
throat. Yeah.
There's so much you could do, and then people are expecting so much that it's just, you know,
right?
Like, why did you even attempt to hype to say this much about
it? Well, I mean, there was a lot said, but I mean, not to the point where, I mean, I think people hyped it, expected a lot more of themselves. I think people kind of did this to themselves, you know, expecting so much from the game. Yeah, there was a lot said, but there also wasn't a lot said, so it made people think a lot even more and hype this game up even more. Like, oh, you're going to be able to do this, you're going to be able to do that. And really, that was never said. So, like who knows? We'll have to wait and see. The game has a lot of time to improve. You know, has limitless possibilities. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. All right, I'm going to move on to the next little bit of news. We're almost done with here with the news today. Resident Evil 7 producer stresses combat is definitely in the game. Confirms VR improvements from E3 demo. Resident Evil 7 producer Iwata stresses that the final game will definitely have combat, unlike the demo. The VR version has improvements, has improved already from the E3 demo as well, which is a good, because I've heard that the E3 demo was rough, making people sick, and stuff like that. And also, me, myself, being a Resident Evil fan, I was stressing that this was going to have content, or combat content, just like the older games. And goodly enough, and happily enough, it does. So that's good to hear. So if you're a Resident Evil fan, now you do know that the game will have content similar to the old games. And first-person style, so it's going to be a little different than usual. Next little bit of news, Raiders of the Broken Planet, due in 2017 for an unbelievable price, will run at 1080p and 60 frames on PS4 and Xbox One. During Gamecom's 2016, I met, well, this is actually WCCF Tech. They met with Alvarez, the head of the studio, and David Cox, senior producer, to check up on the next game after the Castlevania Lords of Shadow trilogy. The game is Raiders of the Broken Planet, an online multiplayer adventure first announced for the months ago. During our chat, they confirmed that the Raiders of the Broken Planet won't be out this year, but a PC beta will be following up for this year, and you can go and sign up for that now. We'll start in September. The beta test for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One will follow, so sometime the end of this year, I'm guessing. And this also hinted at a price so low for an AAA production that the gamers won't believe it. Raiders of the Broken Planet will be use of a seasons model, and each season will have a 4 or 5 specific missions, characters, and storylines. Their target frame rate and resolution for the console will be 1080p, 60 frames, and will be locked. That's actually good to hear, considering that this generation, especially on the base PS4 or Xbox One, that most frame rates don't even stay at 60. So what a tease. I'm sure Digital Foundry will take a shot at this game. It seems that they might reach that goal, since the game ran very smoothly on a laptop. The developers also commented that the PC version won't be limited in graphics to match the console ones, which is also good to hear, too, if you go the PC route. With a powerful enough hardware, you'll be able to run it all the way up. They don't go and mention the price, which I was more interested than anything, because I like to see games, like we were talking about earlier, No Man's Sky being released at a certain price, or certain games being released on PSN at a good price. If there are games that are released at a good enough price, then they'll catch more people's eyes, so we'll wait and see what happens. 1080p, 60 frames is a lot to promise. And a game I was a big fan for, I'm talking about a different topic now, is Berserk, which is on Dreamcast. Garth, do you remember this game?
I remember this game.
Carries around a massively huge sword, fighting off decent waves of enemies on Dreamcast anyways. It's like an adventure action game.
I don't think I remember it. I would have to see it to know it.
Okay, well, this one seems like it's going to be based more off of like they have like an anime as well. But Berserk PS4 Western release will have some things that were held back in the Japanese version. That's good to hear as well. It's no secret by now that the games get censored in different parts of the world and regions for various reasons. In some games, things get added while other stuff are taken out. For Koei Tecmo's Berserk, the Western release will actually see stuff in-game that was in the Japanese version. In an interview of the PlayStation Lifestyles that's set to hit sites soon, producer Hisashi Konuma confirmed that Koei Tecmo plans to unlock a few things that were censored in the Japanese version of Berserk. Excuse me. If you're a fan of Berserk or the anime or even the original Dreamcast, this is pretty exciting. I cannot wait to see what they do with the game. I'm glad to see... I like seeing titles like that making comebacks, like games that you've seen once before that you thought were underrated. Yeah. And you like to see them come back in some way, shape, or form. All right, last little bit of news I have, which I really don't care about Metal Gear Solid much these days, especially in the direction it took. But Konami gave us something that a lot of fans and even myself didn't care about. Konami announced a Metal Gear Survive, a new addition to Metal Gear Solid 5 experience. Survive is more of like a Horde-style type of game. The design of it and everything kind of reminds me of a Resident Evil kind of thing. I don't know where they're going with this. I don't know. It sounds like Konami's just going for another cash grab, throwing the Metal Gear name on it. A lot of people were expecting a Chapter 3 type of thing following the last Metal Gear. So, I don't know. Let us know in the comments or Facebook, guys. What do you guys think?
People, fans are really pissed about this.
I don't want to get I'm not the biggest Metal Gear fan.
If the diehard fans want to say screw Konami, then don't buy the game.
So right, hopefully exactly. they don't buy the game. That is what you need to do, is say screw Konami. Just by buying
don't buy it.
And fuck Konami is a real thing, so it's more like fuck Konami.
Don't buy it to take a crap on it. Don't buy it to break it. Just don't buy it. Because if you buy it to break it, you're still giving them money. So just don't buy it.
Exactly, yeah. You heard it first. Just fuck Konami. So, anyways, I'm not going to spend too much time on that. Resident Evil. See, I'm thinking of Resident Evil because that's what the game it seriously does. But anyways, that being said, that's the last little bit.
So, if that's about it for that. So, it's over this week.
So
buy a game.
Okay.
If I wanted to go in the PlayStation Store and buy a game, would I?
Where would you go?
What would be available? What is new?
Where would I go? You came to the right place. Your ultimate destination for everything PlayStation. PlayStation and pizza. All right, guys. New releases for August 23rd, 2016 on the PlayStation Store. First digital game you got is Absolute Drift Zen Edition, PS4 Digital. Journey from a apprentice master drifter as you hone your skills in a gorgeous minimalist world, travel from airports and docks to a floating metropolis in search of the new cars. Ever greater challenges, your driving skills will be challenged at every turn until you finally become a master drifter. I think it's like a top-down type of game, so that's pretty cool, I guess. Alone With You is a PS4 PS Vita getting some love. I'm a big fan of PS Vita. Digital title only. You're the last survivor of the Doob space colony, trying to repair your ship and escape a planet before it implodes around you. Spend your days searching for clues and parts you need with the Trouble AI companion and your knights in the colony. Holosim Chamber, experiencing some surprising story-defining relationships. Very cool. I'm saying this correctly, but it's Armacorg. It's PS4 Digital. Armacrog. Is a unique stop-motion clay animation point-and-click adventure game from the creators of Earthworm Jim. Very cool. Those games are very tough. Earthworm Jim.
Yeah.
Neverhood Unraveled, the mysteries of the fortress that holds. Tommy Knot, I'm guessing is the name, and his blind alien-taking dog, Beak, captive through the exploration and puzzle-solving. Next game, we have Big City Stories, PS4 Digital. Design, buildings, and...
I downloaded that, by the way.
Did you? Okay, cool. It's free to play, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought it was. Big City Stories puts you in charge of your own city, where you can meet your citizens, staff, race around in your vehicles, you commander, and invite friends to admire your creations. So I wonder how that works. You invite your friends, they just check out your city, or can they get involved with the gameplay at all? If you're a fan of, like, SimCity type of stuff, this is probably up your alley. All right, Deus Ex Mankind Divided, probably one of the biggest releases of the week, PS4 Digital and retail. In 2029, mechanical augmented humans have been deemed outcast and segregated from the rest of society. Adam Jensen, an experienced covert agent, must take advantage of state-of-the-art weapons, augmentations, to unravel a world conspiracy. Next game we have... Oh, Garth, you interested in Deus Ex at all? Or maybe eventually?
Yeah, I mean, eventually. That game came out of nowhere.
I knew it came out in August, but I just
I forgot all about the game. It was just like, I knew it was coming out, but I was like, oh, wow, it's coming out this week.
Yeah, I know on the Gamescast at the beginning of the year, we talked about it, and I don't know if you remember... It was last year? No, it was the beginning of the year. It got delayed. Remember how that all that DLC bullshit they had? And then now we're finally seeing it actually hit its release date. So,
yeah.
Next game is Doodle Devil. PS3 digital only. Holy shit, PS3 getting some love here. Embrace your dark side. While Doodle God was creating the universe, Doodle Devil was also having some fun. The same addictive puzzle gameplay that made Doodle God a hit is back, with an evil twist. There you go, Yules, if you're into puzzle games. also, another huge release, which is a lot of people thought the Xbox was going to have exclusive for about a year to 2 years to come. A game I highly recommend from everybody is Inside PS4 Digital. Hunted and Alone. A boy finds himself drawn into the center of a dark project. And that's it. That's the only description. There's like two sentences there. All right. Wow, PS4 is getting, a huge week, actually, bigger than I thought. Let's see, we got Deus Ex Mankind Divided, Inside is coming out this week, and another big game for fighting fans, such as Dallas, which is on GC, and he's our fighter guy. The King of Fighters 14, PS4 Digital and Retail. The world-famous KOF series is back, new chapter on PS4. 50 characters are ready to clash in 3-on-3 team battles with its numerous user-friendly game modes, refined online features, epic story mode. Get ready to discover the new King of Fighters generation. Have to check that out. Madden NFL 17, PS4, PS3, digital, and retail. Please stop making the PS3 versions or even the Xbox 360 versions.
Yeah.
Just stop, please. Just bring it over to PC or something. Take your team all the way in Madden 17 in a franchise mode, delivering all new ways to play, more decisions to make, driven by the most balanced gameplay yet, deepest commentary in Madden NFL history, along with fun and fresh ways to play Madden NFL 17, is the most complete Madden ever. I've actually seen videos on this, people trashing the franchise mode, saying that is not very good. They're saying there's a lot of big differences, but there's not. But they're saying the gameplay is one of the best Maddens, if not one of the best football games of all time. And the commentary, too. A lot of people are saying that is not as good.
Yeah, like the friend, like it has probably has better voices. But there are some dead areas in the commentary. Like you'll be running down the sidelines for like a 50-yard touchdown, and they'll be dead silent until you score. It's not like Stokely down the sideline. Wow!
Wow! Five touchdown. You know. Anyways, we'll probably end up getting it or something. And checking it out for ourselves, so let you guys know. Metrico Plus is a PS4 digital game. Metrico Plus is an input-driven game in a world of infographics. All the bar charts, line diagrams, and pie chart react to what you are doing. You have to rethink all you know in order to solve all the puzzles and explore every part of the world that is Metrico. Next game we have is, I think, a poker game you mentioned a while back. Prominence Poker. It's PS4 digital, built around unsuspecting and seeding location. Prominence is a gambling utopia ruled by crooked goons that are, maybe this might not be it, are determined to keep you from cashing out. Only here you can find the thrill of high-stakes poker while risking everything to take over this underground empire from the mayor, the mysterious town founder. Next game is Valley. PS4 Digital, explore the vast, beautiful world of Valley using the power of LEAF, Leaf Suit, a fierce exoskeleton that grants exceptional speed and agility, along with a phenomenal ability to manipulate the life and death of living things. Last game we got is Worms WMD. I've never been a big Worms fan, to be honest.
No, I've never been a Worms fan.
Yeah, I don't like those games that people do. So
I don't understand the appeal to them.
Yeah, I don't either. It's not my thing. But then again, a lot of things aren't my thing. So the Worms are back in their most destructive game yet with a gorgeous hand-drawn 2D look. Brand new weapons, the introduction of crafting vehicles and building, plus the return of some much-loved classics, weapons and gameplay, Worms WMD is the best Worms experience ever, so they say. All right, guys, if you want to look at PlayStation Music, PlayStation Video, PlayStation View, you guys can go over to PlayStation Blog and check out the rest of that for yourself. All right, Garth, that is the drop of the week.
I thought the cells this week sucked ass. They're horrible, awful.
I have not
cells.
Checked out the cells myself. I'll have to do that for sure. Let's see if they have, I think they might have a couple other things like releases and stuff on the PlayStation Blog. Check that out real quick. And then we'll jump into the topic of the week, which is my turn to bring the topic of the week. All right, they do have the Humble Capcom PlayStation tips. Bundle available today as Okami, Devil May Cry, like all three of them, which is pretty cool. You got Resident Evil 1 and 0, which is good as well. Street Fighter, a couple Street Fighter games. Strider, which is a good game, and then the Mega Man games as well. So that is actually a pretty damn good bundle. I bet it's expensive, though. I'll have to wait and see. Also, big news, PlayStation Now is coming to PC. DualShock 4 USB wireless adapter is unveiled as well. So that will be coming shortly. I'll give you guys more of an update on that. Like I said before, you guys want to go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/group/Gamercade, or you can go over to our Twitter, Gamercade1986. You can do that. We always post news and stuff, so you get to stay updated with that. So that's exciting. That's actually big news for PlayStation because that counters Microsoft's Windows 10 whole thing, because eventually we might see more than just PlayStation 3 games on PlayStation Now, which I think eventually we will see, but in time. Also, bringing... let's see. Alienation also has an update, which we need to get to. Alienation updated today with the weekly missions, new weapons packs, and more. Let's see what else we got. I think that's about it, really, the big news for this week. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I didn't check out the cells, Garth, but I'll have to see what they have. I missed Bastion last week. I wanted to buy Bastion. I wanted to play that on my Vita.
Yeah, it was $2.
Yeah, yeah, it was like two
or
something.
$3.
I think. Yeah, three something. I think on the Vita it was like two something. So, all right, guys, it's time for Topic of the Week, our last segment of the show. If you guys want to check out the rest of the show, as soon as this is done, you guys can check out the video version over on YouTube, the rest of it. If you want the audio version, it will be up as well. Just check that on iTunes and all that and subscribe. Podomatic and podcast services around the world. All right, Garth, my turn for Topic of the Week. Can you possibly guess what it is?
You mean Greatest Hits?
Oh, I'm sorry. Greatest Hits Game of the Week. Okay.
You greatest said Hits Top Game of the Week like three times. I was like, I think
Greatest Hits Game of the Week. This is where we announce a classic game or maybe a forgotten game of our choice. Sometimes we let the fans do it or a special guest, which we've had on here before. My Greatest Hits Game of the Week, which I just recently beat and is in my Greatest Hits library now, is Resogun. I've actually had it since the PS4 came out, but I didn't recently beat it until now, and I decided to beat it on the superior platform. Yes, I said it. On the PlayStation Vita. Garth, you beat Resogun yourself.
Yes.
Yes, and what did you think?
It's in my top 10 PS4 games of all time so far.
Top 10 PS4 games? I think Colin Moretti would agree with you, but I think he would still say that is possibly one of the best PS4 titles.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. Also,
it's just so good. I mean, it's
arcade
so fun
style
too.
Shmup shooter. Yeah, it's definitely a good game. If you like,
and it's always fun no matter how many times I beat it. I beat the game like 5 or 6 times.
Okay.
But, you know, I always go back and try to improve my time and try to improve my score and speed.
Yeah. And you can also do co-op. They even have co-op and stuff on the Vita, which is really cool. And they had ad hoc co-op as well, so which is like hooking you and a buddy have a Vita. You guys can play that together, which is really cool. That's always a plus to the game. So if you guys haven't checked out Resogun, I highly recommend doing so. The particle effects in the game are fucking mind-blowing. Some of the best I've ever seen, especially when you use like a bomb.
Yeah.
Parts of the world are falling apart. What would you give, Garth? This is PlayStation of Pizza. So what would you give Resogun? What kind of pizza would you rate Resogun?
If I can have my if I bought a pizza, I would eat 9 of these slices out of the 10.
Okay, nice. You know what? I would actually give this I really like Red Bear pizzas. I really like
Red
Bear.
Would you eat the entire pizza? 10 out of 10.
Oh, easily. A Red Baron pizza at that.
Oh yeah.
So Red Baron, you know, it's a frozen pizza, but it's still good. So it doesn't necessarily downgrade the game. Red Baron pizza, and I would eat all 10 slices. So 10 out of 10 for me.
My only gripe about it is that it's kind of short. You know, it only has like five.
Well, what difficulty did you play it on?
I wish I had a couple. I played it on the easiest one because I wanted to beat it, but it's still quite challenging.
Yeah.
But I feel like I wanted a little bit more, not just
I can understand that.
Levels that's there.
Right, and you know they have the
like ship I wanted maybe seven, maybe eight levels instead of five.
Okay. See, on the Vita, they don't have the ship creator. I want to check that out on the PS4. That adds depth.
There's so much. There's so much stuff on the ship creator for PS4.
Yeah.
There's so much stuff. It's awesome.
See, now
I have the Simpsons. I have the Simpsons ship. Sitting on the couch.
Nice.
Sitting on the couch. It's awesome.
So it's just sitting there shooting and all that. All right, on Resogun, I have to say, if you play it on, I think it's experienced, I think is the second difficulty. I'll have to check that out. It is tough. Holy shit. Especially the last level, man. Motherfucker, is it a pain in the ass. You definitely have to do levels at least like five times, even more, depending on if you're playing on the middle to highest difficulty. And I don't know. I put some hours into that game, man. I want to at least say like six with that difficulty. It was a pain in the ass. Yeah. And I definitely recommend playing it on Vita. I think it's the better experience with the way the sticks are set up and everything else. It feels great. Feels perfect in my hands. But that doesn't take away from the PS4 version. If that's the only version you can get to, I definitely recommend playing it. Like me and Garth are talking about the ship creator, which is really cool. But anyways, Garth, that is my greatest hits game of the week. Not the topic of the week, to get confused. But it is the greatest hits game of the week. Let us know what your guys' greatest hits game is. You can go to facebook.com/group/gamercade, email us at playstationandpizza@gmail.com, or you guys can do at gamercade1986 @gmail.com. This is GCN. This is PlayStation-centric podcast of GCN, PlayStation and Pizza. You guys can go over to our website right now. It's gamercade.squarespace.com. We don't have an exact address yet, but go over there. Find all of our podcasts, the newest podcasts, our newest videos, everything, all of our Twitter stuff, our Twitter feed, and do all that. But make sure you hit that subscribe button here on YouTube if you are watching. We'd much appreciate it. Keeps us motivating to making more podcasts every week. We have the Games Cast on here every beginning of the week, and PlayStation Pizza every beginning of the week. So you guys can check that out. Please, please subscribe. Keep us motivated to do more. Really, Garth, where can we find you on PSN and social media?
I mainly want you guys to follow me on Twitter because I want to tweet to people on there. I like it.
Like talking on Twitter. Nice. Like keeping updated on Twitter.
If you have any questions or whatever.
Let them know where they can follow you. What's your name? Or
about sports or anything. You can follow me on SpongeBelt on Twitter.
SpongeBelt. Just
like,
all one word.
And for everything else, just like for everything else, for Twitter, for PSN, for YouTube, which actually the original name ever that I created. The first ever SpongeBob account created was on YouTube, so that's OG SpongeBob. OG even though it's all OG for everything,
right? For sure.
Finally, I mean, I would love to, and my Instagram as well because I love Instagram. but yeah, there you go.
Yeah, all right, cool. Sounds good. If you guys want to follow me on PSN, it's XKillXONX. I'm a big Killzone fan. We also have a Gamercade group over there on PSN. It's a community. Go search Gamercade. Become a member. I'd love to. We talk every now and then. I'm about to update it with pictures and stuff like that and what we're playing at the moment. So if you guys want to do that, yeah, I'd be more than happy to be your friend and play games with you guys. Friends list is getting pretty full, though. So do it while you can. Anyways, guys, this has been PlayStation and Pizza, GCN's PlayStation-centric podcast. Remember, gamercade.squarespace.com. Go check out all of our podcasts, everything. We're on iTunes and podcast services around the world. Thanks, guys, for tuning in. And until next time, game on.